Okay. I am out of sync today. I was supposed to go on first, but now I get the opportunity to tell Sam something that I wouldn't have been able to tell before. Our musical heritage here in Cortland County originally was based, I guess, on Methodist and Congregational hymns, and both religious groups were not too much into the dancing part of music. And we at the Historical Society see that trend change in the 1840s, because at that time the commercially printed programs and flyers, things to hang on the telephone poles, were in, and any group that was coming to the area was generally a soloist, a duet, or four, and the instruments that were played were things like harps. Brass was very popular, cornets especially. The guitars, which kind of surprised me in the 1850s, pianofortes, and melodeons were all very popular accompaniments to the singers. And we have family groups coming. So not so much orchestras or bands as these small groups. And just exactly where they gave their concerts is a little hard to know, because if one says in the auditorium, I don't know where that was, or in Jefferson Hall, and we don't know where that was back in the 1840s. But as we move on, the music that's being played or sung is what we would call classical music, and the songs they're singing are from Italian operas, even back in those early days. Come 1866, and you know by now, just following the end of the Civil War, that we're moving on here. And the Messenger Hall is built on Main Street in Cortland, where now we have Sarve's Shoe and the Deli Downtown. It was a four-story building, and on the upper floor was the place where concerts and dances were held. And as I look around, I'm not too sure how many would remember the Varsity Pool Hall.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That was originally Messenger Hall, and shortly thereafter it became Taylor Hall. And what to me has always been kind of neat about that location, if you face the building where Barzoni's Pizza is now, that was the hardware store for eons, the door to the far right, a double door that doesn't seem to really lead any place, that was the entrance, and actually another building, that was the entrance to Messenger Hall or Taylor Hall. And if you peek through the door, I don't think they've changed them, the stairs are very broad and worn, but they were broad to accommodate hoop skirts of the dancers going up to the balls and cotillions. When the Messenger opened, we do have the name of the Whitlock's Full Brass and String Band, and you could go to the concert for a quarter. If you wanted to stay for the ball, which began at 10 o'clock, that was $3. In between the concert and the ball, the three main hotels, which were the Cortland House and the Eagle Hotel and Sperry's, you could have dinner there. They were going to be open for dinner. And then after your late supper, you would go to the ball. Now, the leading citizens of Cortland and Homer were all involved in the opening and for the dedication of this facility. And James Squires of the now lost Squires Clock Tower building And a fellow from Homer by the name of David Hanum, were involved with this particular location. The fellow came down to the hills from Virgil by the name of Alexander Mahan, and he was a musician. He was later to build the building that was the site of Tickner's Furniture Store. It would have sat in the parking lot behind Alliance Bank and between Alliance Bank and Grace Episcopal Church. That was a large building, if you do recall it. And that's where he had his music business. And he sold sheet music, but his main sales involved instruments, and he supposedly sold pianos all over the country. I find it hard to believe that they were being sent out of Cortland on the railroad cars, but I guess maybe they were, because there was a factory in Cortland that made the cases for pianos, but not the insides, not the things that made pianos pianos. The Mahan began in using Messenger / Taylor Hall, began to have these really extravaganzas back in 1875 with local people, and they were a week-long festival that brought people in from all around central New York and perhaps even further. And the cast of characters generally were people from Cortland, children through adults. Costuming, incredible. There's one picture on display out in the other room that shows one of these shows in the 1890s. They began in 1875 up over and in the Taylor Hall. The they involved musicians, singers, dancers, whatever, dramatic parts. In 1884, now they'd moved, they were still there in Taylor Hall, no they weren't either. 1885, they had 400 singers practicing in the morning. And in the afternoon, when the performance began, they had 500. 500 singers. I assume they were all in tune. I would hope so. By 1885, we have the construction of Cortland's own opera house. And kind of funny story, that is history sort of repeating itself. The hotel that had stood on the corner of Groton and Main that looked like a wedding cake had burned in 83. And Dulles Bonner, who owned the hotel, wanted to rebuild, and he had the plans drawn up right away. But he said to the city, I'm not going to build this elaborate building if you're going to put a wooden structure next to me that could catch fire and therefore burn my place down. And I want something built there that's going to bring people into Cortland that will stay in my hotel. So the city fathers and the mothers probably were there someplace, put their heads together, bought the property, and built the opera house. And it included all the known names as stockholders in the company at that time, and it included the Wickwires that were involved with it too. The this concert with the 500 singers, they had to build the stage out further to accommodate as many as they could. Now the opera house held 500 on the main floor and 500 in the balcony. So with 500 singers, everybody was upstairs. There was no room downstairs for all of them. During the years that went by, Mahan became the fellow that ran the opera house and booked all these various events into it, besides his own, which went on for 26 years. These two names may not ring too many bells, but in their time they were the cream of the crop, Madame Melba, who was a soprano, and Madame Schumannoik. And they were top out of New York City in Europe, and they didn't seem to have too much trouble bringing in any kind of act to Cortland, just as Sam was saying about the Syracuse Symphony. They didn't have trouble getting people to perform here because they were appreciated. John Philip Sousa played here every year for years. And I suppose his popularity we took for granted that he was coming so often. Now, by the 1880s and 90s, all the different communities around Cortland County had their own bands. I don't know how they did it. I'm going to send two pictures around, and I'll get them back eventually, I know. These are pictures of the band in the town of Willett in the middle of the 1890s. And you'll see little children and you'll see grandfathers. And you look at the instruments that they are playing. Who the heck was going out to Willett teaching music lessons? They weren't teaching music in the schools, other than perhaps a choral music, but even in Willett, it probably was a one-room school situation. If they went to high school, it would be Marathon or Cincinnatus, I suppose. But there's all kinds of instruments in that group. And this was the way it was throughout the county. Homer had a band that was very important, and in Cortland, what became the city, its first band was 1881. And I don't know how long that particular one lasted, but it was supported by the Cortland Wagon Company, L.J. Fitzgerald, and they met at the factory to practice. And he bought the instruments. The instruments belonged to L.J. Fitzgerald. And we don't have a record of how far along they went, but it was pretty much a brass band, the most popular kind that there was at that time. Now that band, the first band, may have been called the Cortland Band, or could have been called the Cortland Wagon Company Band, and I'm not sure which. By 1892, Cortland had three bands, two of which were called the Cortland Band, and one was the Cortland City Band. The band in Homer was having trouble pulling everybody together, and one of these, or all three very possibly, were having a little difficulty keeping the momentum going. And so a new band was formed, with the members coming from both communities and elsewhere as well. In 1893, a cornet player from Homer became the leader, and guess what? He was not Italian. He was an Irishman. And his name was Patrick Conroy, or Conway, I'm sorry, Patrick Conway. Now, Patsy Conway played about a year with this and led this band, and in taking them to Ithaca, he was given an offer he could not refuse, and so he stayed in Ithaca. And he was the head of a band at Cornell, and he was associated with the conservatory over there and formed the Ithaca Band, and eventually took that band out on the road as the Patrick Conway Band. Conway. Why do I want to say that's the Antique Appraiser, isn't it? Anyhow, his band toured the country, and he was on the same level as J. John Philip Sousa as far as notoriety and fame went. He played here in Cortland frequently. He played at both the Cortland Traction Company's parks, the one that was on the other side of the Teotihuacan on Salisbury Hill, and also he played at the pavilion at Little York. Yeah, he must have had itchy feet because he eventually went to Syracuse, where he became the leader of the basically newly formed Syracuse Symphony Orchestra. And he was there as their leader for many years. So that the connection with the Syracuse Symphony and Cortland goes back a long way, or at least Cortland County, because Patsy lived most of his young life in Homer. His band played classical music. One time there were so many encores at the Traction Company Park across the river that finally the last thing that in their repertoire was Onward Christian Soldiers. The Dillon Brothers, some of you I'm sure have heard of, they were in minstrel shows originally, not local necessarily, but New York, etc. They were a song and dance performers, comedians. The first two brothers that went out on their own were in vaudeville for 30 years. They were followed by other brothers, the youngest being Will or Bill. And he was mostly a solo act and songwriter known in Europe as a man of a thousand songs. And when he died in the 19-whatevers, they believed that there had been 11 million copies of his songs sold throughout the world. His most well-known is "I Want a Girl Just Like the Girl That Married Their Old Dad." The other two of the Dillons, their most famous ones were "Put Me Off at Buffalo" and "Do Do Do My Huckleberry Do." They led the charts back in the 1900s and early into 1800s, late 1800s, early 1900s. In 1906, the two brothers were, John and Harry were playing in San Francisco when the earthquake hit. And if you look out there, there's a picture of the sign that didn't get knocked down by the earthquake, and you'll see the Dillon Brothers sign is on there for their show. In 1907, the three of the Dillon Brothers bought the Opera House and turned it into the Cortland Theater. And there again, everything that was going on in Cortland went on there, from government meetings to graduations to plays, etc. A little later on, two of the brothers took over Taylor Hall and had taught dancing and held dances up there. In fact, even into the 1930s, it was Fuller's Hall, and there were dances every Saturday night. You remember that, huh? Another Irishman associated with the music business and with the Citizens Band was John McDermott, and he had an orchestra, and he also led the band and played in the band, and generally you see him with a hat on because he was bald very young. The Gable Inn, he ran that for years as the Leland Hotel. And over the bar, he had a giant picture of the band with himself right in the front. Really big picture. It's now in the hallway, entrance hallway of the Historical Society, if you'd like to see it. It was a gift from a musician. The instruments that by the 1900, the instruments that were being played were truly professional. But I brought something I thought you might be interested in. It's a violin.
Set it out.
Made in 1880 by Lewis Hannum, David Hannum's brother. And he was a violin maker on Main Street in Portland. And this is signed and dated. And it was a gift many years ago to the Historical Society. But I thought you'd like to see something really old that came out of Cortland besides a couple of the speakers today.
Thank you.
Thank you.